love, kindness, human connection. These are some of the things we talk about on the Danny Painter Show. It's a thing. This show is intended for a more mature audience. We might sometimes say bad words.
Hello, Danny.
Hello, good morning.
Wait, let me see. Oh, there we go. There's my video.
Ooh, nice studio.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very nice studio. This is very cool.
Yes.
This cool.
This is my creative space.
Nice. Nice. This is mine. Less cool than yours. Look. Little bit nerdy. Little bit goth. Which was as dark as fuck as well, so that's fine. You can see.
It is. All recording studios, is one of the big problems is that it's a dark hole, you know? But
perfect. What else do we want? I like my dark hole of doom and despair and gloom and misery. It's great. How are you doing, Chris? Are you good?
I am good. Yes, very good.
Please don't be nervous.
Okay, I'll probably relax in a little bit, you know.
Okay, we'll just, you know what? We're just gonna start. We're gonna go, and then like you'll chill the fuck out. Also, you can swear, you can say whatever you want. If you don't like something, message me later, email me, and tell me to take it out, and I'll take it out. Okay.
Okay.
So you are probably gonna go on the 1st of November is when we're looking at this episode.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
So this is for your what's it called? XO TV or something?
Yeah,
or?
So it's for both. So Jack Random and him have partnered with them now. So they host the podcast for me where XO hosts the video.
Brilliant.
It all feeds into each other at this point.
Okay. Amazing. Okay.
You ready?
I am ready. What's the lighting like, by the way? If I do that, is that better or is this blue light nicer?
I like a bit of drama. I like the blue light, but you look very normal with the other option.
No, the blue light is cool. I think it adds a little bit of...
Do the blue.
...pizzazz.
Do the blue. Okay, cool. So, Carito or just... How do I say it? Say it for me.
Carito is perfect. Yeah, you said it perfect first time.
Okay, and is it Chris Carito or is it just Carito?
Well, Carito is like the artist name for this particular project, but you can call me Chris, whatever you want to call me. It's all good. Yeah.
I'm going to ask Carito's you about like all of them.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you about all of them because you do many, many, many things for many different things.
Yes. So for Zaya, just to give you a quick little heads up, I will, because I haven't revealed that I'm that person yet.
Okay.
So what I'll say is, yes, I've helped him out, make music, blah, blah, you know, I'll come up with something.
Worked with him.
With him, exactly. I'm. You know, I said the other day that I was part of the writing and production team. You know.
Okay. Okay. When are we revealing that, Marshmallow? Are we gonna?
I think in the next few months. It might be at the beginning of next year, just because everything's always so busy and there's not enough time for anything. You know. But I've taken photos and everything, so it's starting to happen. You know.
Okay. Exciting. Okay, cool. So, as usual, on a Zoom, until we can travel and do the things, Chris Carito, welcome to my home in Brackburn. I love your studio.
Hello, Danny. It's so good to finally chat to you. We've been trying to do this for a while, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, but you've been so busy, and we're going to talk about all of that, because you are the person that I think is going to inspire the next generation of producers and songwriters, because you do all of it, like across the board. Legitimately, you do all of the music thing, like all of it, from the music from like that we listen to like jam to the music that we listen to in the background of like TV shows, to like all of it, you do it. So I want to get into that. But first, Chris Carito, tell me a little bit about your background. Where are you from? And how did you find yourself in this world?
Well, firstly, thank you so much for those compliments. That's really kind of you to say. I actually grew up in Joburg. I'm a Joburg born and bred person. Yeah. Auckland Park was where I was born. And I spent my, you know, up until I was about 21 in Joburg. So I was in a musical family. I mean, my grandfather played in the National Symphony Orchestra. You know, so I used to go to operas and classical concerts growing up, a lot at the Pretoria, you know, at the,
The State Theatre,
there we go. Mm-hmm. And my uncles were massive music fans. They played instruments, so they had like huge record collections. So I was just exposed to music from an extremely young age. It was just part of like, you know, and then when I was like a teenager, then I got into bands. I was into like, yeah, goth music and metal and rock and stuff. Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Sisters of Mercy, all of that yes. stuff, you know?
Wow. We are like, I knew I was going to like you even more now. But listen, do you play instruments with your grandfather being so musical?
Yes, I play guitar. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm amazing. I would say my producing is my kind of key skill, but I can play guitar. Yeah.
Okay, so you say producing, right? Now, like, I think of a producer, and I co-write with people. And when we sit, the producer is always the scary, quiet one in the corner, who I'm sure yes. is actually not as scary as he is, as much as he is socially awkward and doesn't actually want to get yeah. involved, because you guys seem to be very, like, in your own space, and you, like, you do things, but none of us know what you do. Like, what do you do? Because we all see you, but, like, what does producing mean? What do you do?
Yes, so I think it's evolved as time has gone by. Like, I think in the old days, like in the traditional music business back in the day where you had recording studios where artists used to go into big recording studios and, you know, there would be like a sound engineer and then there would be a producer like Rick Rubin. I don't know if you know Rick Rubin. Yeah, sitting in the background, that awkward guy, you know, just making subtle comments about, yeah, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that.
Do it again.
yeah, do it again. Maybe do this, maybe do that. So, but nowadays, a producer often means the person that's literally composing the music, sitting at the computer, writing the stuff, making beats, you know, like, I mean, in modern music, obviously a lot of stuff is made electronically on a computer, and that's a producer in the modern sense. So I guess it's like an interchangeable kind of term. You know, you can get your traditional record producer, like maybe Mark Ronson or a, you know, or a Rick Rubin or something that just sits in the background and comments and gives like creative advice and help to get the artist to the particular point that they're trying to get to, you know. But in my case, I'm the guy doing the stuff on the computer, you know, or making it sound the way I want it to sound, you know.
Do you ever struggle with getting that from here onto the into the computer? Do you ever struggle with, like, the from here to, like, the getting the sound perfect?
A lot. Okay. I mean, it's I think that's probably the journey of being a producer, a musician, an artist, is to get the ideas that you've got in your head, like, into a complete song, a finished product. That's the journey, you know?
When's it done?
Sure, that's a tough question. Sometimes really quickly, sometimes it takes years before you feel like something's done for real. Absolutely. It's you never quite know. But I think at some point you've got to just be like, I think you need a deadline.
I hate this. Everyone tells me this about a lot of things in my life, and I don't like this line in the sand, cuck. I'm like, it's done when it's done, guys. We'll start it when we start it. We're not going to, like, do the thing. But I suppose that's why you are successful, because you do this, like, thing. You're like, this is the thing, and we're going to be done with it here.
Well, I'm just as bad as you, don't worry. Like, a lot of the songs, you know, that I've finished, when they finally come out, they were sitting on my hard drive for like 2 years before that, you know.
Okay. So you are normal, you know, as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You're not this, like, musical savant who just, like, does the things and is, like, altogether good.
Definitely not.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, another question. Obviously, so growing up on the East Rand, I've grown up between Fosseris and Brakpan, suburbs and not suburbs, and everyone is a producer, right? Everyone is, or not a producer, but everyone is writing music or producing beats. Yes. At what point would you think, and this is a big question, and you're probably going to upset some people, but fuck it, let's do it. At what point do you think someone could call themselves a producer? And when you introduce yourself, I am a producer. Because, I mean, there are so many people writing stuff and recording stuff in their bedrooms and their garages. Where's that line for you?
I think they've got to have the music released and people have to be listening to it, you know?
Okay.
You can make beats endlessly on your computer or whatever, throw in some loops and call yourself a producer, you know? It's like if you're doing it and you actively like trying to make a thing of it, like putting it out, because these days we can do that with distributors and Spotify and Apple Music and all of these platforms. You can literally make your music and put it out and get an audience, you know? So I think it's got to be at that point, personally, you know?
Okay. So you can have one song that goes massive on TikTok and you can be a producer. Or you can have 25 that no one's listening to and still not be a producer. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah.
Music is weird. It's so fluid. Like, it's so weird for me, the music industry.
It is a weird thing. I actually saw on your social media that you were part of a new song that came out or something, right?
Yeah, so my dad is a producer, and he owns a studio. He's a real one. People listen to his music. He owns a studio here on the East Rand, and growing up in it and being able to play music, it was kind of like a natural thing that you're in the studio with people and writing. And then when someone needs a backing vocalist, it's like, oh, Danny's here, she's watching TV, so let's just get her. Or my brother can rap, so like get him in, you know? So yes, I'm on quite a few songs, which is fairly good money for like an odd Saturday afternoon going to my mom's house just for a bra, and then like Samara pays you money. So I mean, you know, it's not a bad thing to do. But the way that you do it and the way that my dad does it, it's very intense. I mean, there are weeks that we don't see him. He does not leave that studio, and he kind of turns into Gollum. And I can imagine the same of you. But then there are weeks when there's nothing happening and it's free. How do you balance that?
I try actually these days to do it on a bit of a 9-to-5 kind of basis to get the balance.
How?
Well, you know, if you're in a relationship, you can't be like in the studio the whole time, like, you know, because you're going to be upsetting people. And also you want to spend time with your partner. So all of those things. Also, I'm very into a balanced life. So I train a lot. I go hiking on the mountain a lot. I go running. I've started surfing recently in the last 3 months. I'm addicted to that now. So I think all of these things, I think balance is very important in life. And I think it also helps you with your music. Like if you're just in one place, like going over something over and over again, you don't get that breakthrough. Whereas if you go out for a walk, you talk to someone, you see what's happening outside of your like closed little dark hole, it can actually unlock creativity rather than, if that makes any sense at all.
No, definitely. So I want to come back to the balance, but just on this hiking thing, I got back from Cape Town last night, actually, and I am going to actively do everything in my power to move there, because I think you guys have this position of privilege when it comes to balance. Here in Joburg, everything's far away, right? So you have to drive an hour to get to a hiking thing or a dam or whatever to do the things that in Cape Town it would take you 5 minutes to do. And everyone is outside and everyone is doing the things. And like yesterday morning, we went on a kayak and still did a full day's work. Like you could still do a full day's work because the sun is up earlier, the people are up, like everything is good to go. So I see the balance. I don't have it yet. I attain to have that lifestyle. But have you always had that, or was there a time where you were struggling with none of it? Because I feel like people are only actively pursuing a holistic kind of balanced lifestyle when they really fucked up in the past.
100% correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 100% correct. So before I lived in Cape Town. So I went from Joburg to London, and I lived in London for like 7 years.
Okay.
And I was so like career obsessed that I spent like all of my time just working in a flat or at work or whatever, like, and it just felt, I just like at some point I was like, I really need to attain a slightly different life. This is not making me feel good, you know? Mm. So that was, I decided to move to Cape Town. That was the reason. That was the catalyst, was to come here, because I've always loved coming to Cape Town, and it encourages you to live a more balanced lifestyle. And I just absolutely love that side of it, you know. What you've just described is exactly how the lifestyle is, you know. You wake up in the morning and go for a hike. I don't know, meet your friends for a quick coffee that takes you 10 minutes to get there.
Yeah. And, like, you guys are having lunches and dinners. People are driving, like, 60 on the highway. The first day I was there, I was so aggressively angry. I was like, fucking drive, guys. I got places to be. And then I realized that, like, everything is close. No one cares if you're late. Like, it's just, it's a completely different world. And I think especially for a Joburger, also did the overseas thing, also workaholic, I really want that. Like, I really, really want that. But tell me a little bit about, like, so this balance thing, it's bled into your real life, right? Like, you found balance with relationships, friendships, you, work, everything.
I wouldn't say I've nailed it perfectly, you know, but I'm definitely doing my best, you know. I'm actively trying to cultivate that in my life, you know. And I think it has paid off over time, you know. Like, I feel like I'm a lot healthier, I'm a lot happier. So it's an ongoing journey, you know, but the surfing thing, that's been amazing for me. Like, I've lived in Cape Town for 12 years, and I wanted to start to learn surf. And eventually this year, I've actually taken the plunge. I'm going surfing every weekend, probably twice a weekend. And it's changed my life. It really is like a magical thing to be doing, you know, just to be out in the water, learning something new, being in the ocean. It's amazing.
Playing. We don't play as grown-ups. We need to start playing again. Playing, it makes you so creative. It changes everything. But, like, so I just, one more thing, and I'm harping on about this holistic lifestyle thing, but I think I want humans, our fellow humans, to understand that no matter what you do, whether you are a producer, whether you are an actor, whether you are an influencer, a nurse, a doctor, whatever it is, physical activity and mental stimulation through physical activity, like learning to surf or learning to ride a bike or learning to do something new, playing football on a team, is so important because it filters down into everything that you do. And I think we've lost that. We don't play anymore. All we do is work and hustle. And no one goes outside anymore, so no one's getting any kind of vitamin D from the sun. So, like, I want to reiterate that is important for you as a creative to move and to be stimulated in that way.
It's 100% important. It's vital. I think it's like, I think human beings are designed for that, you know? And I think just modern life has forced us to be a different way. But this is not the way we were, like, evolved as human beings, you know? Right. We were outside. We were moving our bodies, you know? And often it's the thing, if I'm feeling, I don't know, a bit depressed or a bit sad about something, get outside, walk, go to the gym, and it changes my mood instantly, you know? It's like, and I mean, there's scientific evidence to prove this stuff. You know, it's not just, we're not just here talking about it. It's actually been proven that this is better for your health, for your happiness.
And it makes you look better. And when you look better, you feel better. Always.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Thank you, Danny. Well, if you move to Cape Town, we'll go for coffees. Don't worry. And walks.
Do you promise? Because now then I'll have two friends in Cape Town.
Hand on my heart, we'll do it.
Okay, and I also want to learn to surf, so I'm going to actively pursue this, and then you have to be my friend.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm in.
Done. Yay, look at this. Our sharks together. Okay, Chris, you lived in the UK, and I know in your time there, the burnout and the hustle must have been real, but you did some fucking incredible things and worked with some big names. Give me the highlight reel of this and how that came about. Like, how do you go from a dude from Auckland Park to working with the people that you worked with in the UK? Like, what was that journey?
Sure, it's a bit of luck, a bit of coincidence, a bit of synchronicity, all of those things, you know. Like, I moved to London without having really any kind of connections or contacts or anything like that, not knowing really how to break into the industry. And then one day I was walking down Oxford Street and I bumped into somebody I worked with in South Africa. Just literally, and you know how busy Oxford Street, I'm sure you've been to London, right? Like, you walk directly. Hustle, yeah. Like thousands of people, like you know, it's actually quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
Walked into this friend of mine, somebody that I worked with back in South Africa, and through that meeting, I started to get work in London, and that was like the catalyst for just getting involved in the business over there, you know. And then one thing led to another. You know how it starts snowballing. And then towards the end of my stay in London, one of the guys I've been working with for a long time got the job to do the iTunes Festival, which is, you know, it's this thing that Apple started doing back when downloads were a thing. Mm. And they would do these intimate shows with like mega famous artists as a marketing thing, you know. So you'd win tickets and you'd go see like Paul McCartney in like a 300 person venue. So the guy was like 10 meters away from you, you know. Yeah. And then the next day, those recordings of the live show would be on the iTunes store for people to download, you know?
Okay.
And I was the person that was recording all those shows, you know?
Meeting some, like, big, big names.
Yeah, meeting, like, pretty much all of my heroes. So that was, like, unbelievable for me to work with these people, to be in the same room as them, to record their music, to... just an invaluable life experience. I think it was the thing that actually made me decide to come back to South Africa, because I was like, you know, I've done all of the stuff that I really wanted to do. I've ticked that box. Now I can come and contribute to South Africa. And I'm like a huge patriot. I love this country. I love what we're doing here. You know, there's a lot of negativity about it, but I love it. And I think having all of that, being in the room with all those people and experiencing their humbleness and just doing that, ticking that box, I was like, okay, I can go back to South Africa. I can, you know, I'm not going to feel like I've left something out there or haven't done something that I wanted to do, if that makes any sense.
What were some of the highlights? Because, I mean, you worked with all of your heroes, like you say, but there must have been like standout ones or standout moments.
Okay, yeah, a standout moment, that Paul McCartney thing, that was huge because he's a Beatle, you know, and to just do a show with Paul McCartney and him coming into the room going, hey, you know, he's like, that's Paul McCartney, oh my God. Amy Winehouse doing, you know, obviously now that she's passed away, that's like that was amazing to do a show with her, like in her prime. I mean, she was kind of drunk and stumbling all over the stage, but... It was Amy Winehouse, and she was good. And another thing that was kind of highlight was working with James Brown and Robbie Williams at David Beckham's house, David and Victoria Beckham. So when the World Cup was happening in 2006, I believe, like the Beckhams threw this party at their house and invited all the celebs to come to this to their house for a party. And I was helping with the sound and, you know, mixing for this massive party. So, like, Robbie Williams, James Brown, and all the celebrities you've ever seen in your whole life there sitting at, you know, Sharon Osbourne, all the football players. So many
wow.
People, you know, like, right there. And going just, like, getting on a train and traveling up to David Beckham's house for a week, that was kind of a bit surreal, you know. And you're like looking around you and there's like a football pitch in his back garden, and then Victoria Beckham comes out and like, you know, and I put the flowers over there and like do that and, you know, whatever, just kind of surreal.
Yeah, I can imagine, even though we're like, we know they're normal people, like I think you put people like that on a pedestal and you expect them to not be normal, like some kind of either like superhuman or like super, like I don't know. Yeah.
And they are just normal people, and that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
So through my time there in London, working with all these people, they just became normal people for me, you know? Like, yeah. I wasn't like that guy going, oh my God, like there's, you know what I mean? I was just normal as well, you know?
Yeah.
But then I would go back and tell my friends that this is what I did, and they would be like, what? Oh my God. You know, you'd see like them in the sun or whatever, and then the next day I was like, they were standing right there next to me doing something, you know? But they are ultimately just normal people, you know?
Dude, we're all normal people. We're all inherently broken and messed up and figuring it out. None of us know what we're really doing. And I think we sometimes forget that our heroes are just exactly the same as our neighbor. Same person. Just more money, more exposure. Same person. On this, was there anyone, and you don't have to say the name, but I want the story. Was there anyone that disappointed you? That you were like, I liked you?
Not really, actually. Not really.
Mama.
Yeah, like, actually, that didn't really happen. Yeah.
How does one become a TV music dude?
It's also, well, I always wanted to do composing for film and TV, so just got into it, you know, because I write music all the time. And for this particular thing, I'm friends with Ari, the director of Tully's Wedding Diary, and his wife, Julia, who is Tully, you know, the character, and Suzelle. Like, I know them socially. So it was, yeah, I mean, me and Ari had been doing stuff for years. And, that just it was a natural kind of thing to happen, you know.
How different is it working on TV or film as opposed to working on a career, or working with Zaya, or working on music that we listen to? You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, like basically what you're saying is it's like when we listen to music on our own, we're just listening, we want to go to that song specifically. It's not, for film and TV, it's completely different because you're there just as a sort of supporting, you play a supporting role, you know, like you're not there to make your music unbelievable and stand out. In fact, you're trying to do the opposite. You're trying to just support the story. What's the emotion happening on, you know, in a particular scene in any particular moment?
Okay.
So it's 100% different. Like, you, there's no ego involved. You're there to help the director kind of achieve their vision and then what they want to get out of a particular scene, you know?
Mm.
So it's so different. I mean, I actually like it for that reason, because they in the driving seat, and they sort of, through their visuals and their directing, and they drive what you need to do, you know, and then you support that vision, you know. With my other projects, it's my vision, you know, so that's the huge thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons I also do it, is because I can have something that is my vision 100%, you know, like, this is what I want to do. No one's telling me how to do it. I can just let my creativity run wild, you know.
Do you have a preference? Do you prefer one over the other, or do you love them equally?
I think I love them equally, to be honest. I really do. I mean, it is extremely rewarding creating something that's your vision and then seeing it spread. You know, that's like quite a phenomenal thing. So I think in terms of reward, probably my own projects are the thing that give me the most reward, you know, personal kind of gratification, you know.
Chris, what else have you done TV and film that we may not know you've done? Is there more?
Probably nothing that you know. I composed the music for a nature documentary, but it was like in 2014.
Okay.
It was for all the Great Penguin Rescue. It's done extremely well around the world. It's basically, it was a show about rescuing the penguins in Simonstown, you know, the African penguin hearts dying out. And they did a, working with SANCOB, this penguin rescue unit in Cape Town here, to make sure that penguins are rehabilitated and survive, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was hosted by Michaela Strachan, who's a UK celebrity and TV presenter. And that did extremely well. And then lots of lots of commercials, you know. I've done music for lots of ads. Mm-hmm. Ads, TV shows, short films, yeah.
You also own and run your own studio, correct?
Yes.
Okay, how's that? Because I can feel like that could get a lot frustrating.
Yeah, it is. I guess it's like these different hats, you know, that you've got to put on at different times, and it can be overwhelming sometimes, you know.
You wear a lot, dude. I don't know how you know what day you're in and what we're doing today. Like, it's a lot.
I know. Sometimes I do feel very overwhelmed, you know, but you should breathe deeply, just tackle the next task, you know.
Do you work with artists on, would you work with an artist on an EP or an album?
Definitely, absolutely. I mean, I haven't really done it, mainly because generally artists don't really have money to spend, you know. So unless I'm working with somebody that I really believe in, or, you know, that they're going to do something, I guess it's just time management, you know, but I 100% would. Mm. But part of, I really love collaborating with artists, you know. That's something enjoy like hugely, you know.
Okay, you have worked with I'm just interrupting you left, right, and center.
No, please.
So we did an interview about a year and a half ago, I think, or a year ago. We were talking about, or more than that, music. Yes. That you've done as Carito, and yes. I love a synth wave. I love a dark synth, like a very dark synth. And it's pretty much what you do is Carito, but you also worked with Zio, and that's how I met you. I did an interview. Yes. With you for that, I think. So yes. Talk to me about that kind of like space of creating and working both on Carito and Zio, the differences between the two and how you like move between them.
Yes. I guess it's the love of different kinds of music and kind of figuring out how to package it, you know. So, I mean, I love making African-focused dance music, you know. So then I met Zio, and then it was just a natural progression to work with him on creating this Afro house music, you know. So the way I view this stuff, I think working in the advertising world, it was a way for me to package and market these different kinds of things. I didn't really know before I got into advertising, like working with creative agencies, that marketing is such a key part of what we do, you know? So it was like, I never knew how to package all these different things that I enjoy doing, you know? And then it was just, and then I just had this like light bulb moment where I was like, just separate them, you know? Because they're different. They're completely different. They speak to a different audience. So to get involved with Zio, that was just amazing, you know, because then I can just, you know, because the Carito stuff, it's like pop music, you know, whereas Zio has definitely got a very African-influenced kind of sound, you know, which I absolutely love, and it's that sound is spreading globally, you know, like the artists from here are doing extremely well, you know, thanks to people like Black Coffee, who's taking the sound that's like kind of started in South Africa and just like spreading it globally, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers the question. I think I just went on like around the houses there.
No, I'm here for it. It did answer the question. Okay, so as Carito, you have released some fucking great stuff, dude. And also that Spotify, those two Spotify playlists that you share with me, I'm gonna put them in the bottom of the video, but
amazing,
dude, living like all the time. The one in particular is a daily occurrence in this house, like all the time. So good. How does it start for you? Like, how does this track start for you? Is it like a melody? Is it an idea? Is it a word? Like, how does it start, and then where to from there?
It's more like a feeling. Like I'm trying to, you know, often it comes from inspiration from like, you're listening to the playlist and they hear a track that I absolutely love and I'm like, wow, how like this made me feel so good. How did I, what made me feel so good about this particular piece of music that I heard, you know? Mm. So often it can be like that, like an inspiration from something I've heard. And then I'm like, oh, I want to go make something like that. Or that will be the catalyst for an idea, you know? And then it often starts like with a mood, with instrumental, with synths, and then a beat, you know, until I've got something where I feel like, wow, this is amazing. Like I can visualize and hear a vocal on top of this, you know, like okay. It's a bed, you know, and then I will often reach out to a vocalist at that point when I've got something that I think's amazing, you know? And sometimes it just happens 100% organically. Like the person just walks into your life without you planning it, you know?
Yeah, those are the best ones. Those are the ones that are going to like go massive, and the ones you put all of that effort into and like finding the perfect and doing the perfect. Those ones are the ones that like end up in a folder somewhere forever and ever and ever. Speaking of that folder, do you have a folder like that with finished, not finished, like kind of finished stuff that you're going to get to one day?
Most definitely. I have a folder like, yeah. And I hope I think if you've got something good, like sometimes a bit of time can be a good thing. Like you can make something and then a year later come back to it and go, wow, this is really good, you know? Or, oh, that's not so good, you know? Whereas at the time, you might have been obsessed with it and thinking it's like amazing, whereas maybe it's not so amazing or whatever, you know? So sometimes it's good to have a bit of space. Yeah, this latest song that I worked on, Gemini, that's currently on the airwaves, so to speak. That was a very interesting process because the vocalist that I originally wanted to work with, I'm not going to mention any names, it didn't work out, you know, like I was hassling her for months, you know, like, and then we tried to meet up, just one of those things, it never went anywhere, you know, but it was a good thing because when Celine reached out to me on Instagram, it was just like the perfect fit, you know? And she didn't even want to work. She didn't even message me with the intention of wanting to do a song together. She was just like in New York, living in New York now, a South African artist that moved there a long time ago when she was 19 to pursue music. She also does stuff for film and TV. Okay. She's toured the world with Nate Ruiz, you know, and he's the lead singer from Fun. Remember
yeah,
Fun?
Yeah.
We are young, you know, that massive hit. Yeah, so she toured with him when he became a solo artist, went everywhere, was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Wow.
Played at the White House for Barack Obama. But anyway, so going back to the playlists, right, you said you really love those playlists. So she discovered my electropop playlist. And then I think checked me out on Instagram and saw that I was a South African artist making like synth-based music, you know. So she just said, oh, so cool to see another South African making synth, you know, synth-based pop music, you know. And then I was like, oh, thank you so much. And then after I checked out her music, I was like, wow, she'll be cool to collaborate with. So like, you got to just try, you know. Suggested art.
Throw it against the wall and see what sticks, I feel like, is music, dude. You never know.
Exactly. So literally, I was like, do you want to do a track together? She was like, yeah, sure. Send me some instrumentals, you know. I sent her two. She was instantly vibed with this track. I think kind of the working title, you know, the file name on my hard drive was something like 1992 or something, you know.
Good year. It was a good year. I feel like Tamagotchis might have been part of that year for me, actually. Good year. So she's there, you're here, you're sending files across the world via WeTransfer or the box one or whatever. How does it, because like I feel like if you're working with someone on a song, right, it's so personal. You got to be able to like get into that headspace together. You got to get into each other's heads. Like there's got to be some kind of synergy. How do you make that happen in a digital world?
I think with this particular one, because it was such a natural kind of fit, like the instrumental was very polished already. So like it already had like the structure of the song, you know, like intro, verse, chorus, etc. So it was kind of quite finished already as an instrumental piece. So it was just we didn't have to, in this particular case, we didn't have to connect so much. She just knew the vibe that I wanted. She connected with the vibe through the music, and she literally just spent like 2 or 3 weeks with the instrumental. And then I got an email from her, and she was like, he has the track, you know?
Nah, okay.
And then at that point, I suppose it could go either way. It could be like, you know, am I going to hate it? Am I going to love it? I suppose there's that whole kind of like,
yeah,
right. And thankfully, like, I just loved it, you know? And then being like hyper professional, she sent me all the elements, you know, like lead vocal, backing vocals, even some guitars, some all sorts of different elements. Just very professional to work with. And then I could take that and then finesse it, you know, like mix it, produce it, like. So in this instance, it was separate, you know. But your question was about how do you connect in a digital world. It's true. It's a good point. It's like, I guess we just got to use what's available to us, you know. Obviously, I would have loved if she was in Cape Town and she could have come into the studio and we could have actually spent some time together and write the song together. That's always first prize, you know.
Obviously, yeah, because like working in a space, I feel like you can bounce things off of each other. Dude, I would have been terrified to send you that email, absolutely terrified, because how many times did she re-record that to make it just perfect for you and her? Like, the anxiety around this digital shit, it's a lot. You're in a studio, you can lay down track after track after track after track, and if you mess it up, it's okay, because you're there, right? And there's this like kind of like synergy relationship, and you're laughing about it. When I'm sending you this raw me voice, it's a lot, dude. That's scary.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
I think no, you're so right, because you have no idea how the person's going to react to it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's the scary thing, right? It's like you do something. It's the same thing once I'd finish and polish and I sent her back. I'm also like, are you going to love it? You know, like, because it did change and evolve, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess you just do things over email. She'll comment like, oh, maybe do this, maybe do that. Then, and we did jump on FaceTime quite a few times and like talk about stuff, you know? So it wasn't only over email or whatever. We did actually. And that's, I think that's important. We've got to use the platforms that we've got, like Zoom and FaceTime, and, you know, it is what it is in today's world, but like, let's use the tools that we got, you know, like rather than just email, you know.
Sound like my Jewish mother. It is what it is. It is what it is, Danielle. It is what it is. Okay, so Gemini is available everywhere. Spotify, Apple, all of the things. What is next for Carito and Chris Carito and Sonovision Studios and all of the shit that you can do? You do all of it.
Yes. Oh, there's a lot. So it's Sonar Studios. Just correct me there quickly. No problem. Is it a studio in Joburg called Sonovision?
Sonar Studios. There we go.
I've got new Carito tracks on the that I'm finishing for an EP. So one of them is with Amy May Rue, that actually, so that first song for tonight that I think you know through
Love
my playlist.
Favorite, fucking go and listen to that song first. That is my jam, guys. That song is boss. Sorry, Joburg.
Thank you, Danny.
Sorry.
No, but thank you. I love that. I love the passion, and I feel like that's amazing. Like, I mean, that song's been doing super well. I mean, it got. Just let's just touch on this quickly. Like, it's on a Spotify editorial playlist called Comeback Pop, and I have no idea how Spotify, these curators, found it, because to get onto those playlists, I don't know if you realize it, it's like, it's huge. Like, there's huge marketing teams at record labels that are like pestering Spotify, taking them out for lunches, to get on these editorial playlists, because as soon as you get onto a playlist, then your audience grows massively, you know. So that's like a huge way for your audience to grow. So just one day out of the blue, it's like, oh, it's on this editorial playlist. So for me, that was just like, I don't know how they found it, but that's a thumbs up, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a great song, dude. for the last, like, since we did that interview and you sent me stuff and I've been listening to it.
Yes.
I've been listening. That song is on, I think, two of my playlists now. And I listen to it every time I'm in the car. Legit. Like, it's one of my favorite songs. So I can, I can tell, like, what, but you see, but that's just the thing, right? Sorry, like, we're going to go off through the houses here, like you said earlier. But yeah. I have friends from Canada. And they're a band, and they wrote this song that didn't do well at all. It's about 3 years old. And all of a sudden, someone on TikTok picked it up from somewhere. And massive viral situation. And they were like, but no one liked that song then. So it's just, it's incredible for me how music flows. And it's just, it's not about when you release even. It's just about when it gets picked up. Because it will at some point.
Exactly.
It's weird. So weird.
It's so weird. So I think we need to segue into something for all these artists that are out there wondering what to do. It's better to put your music out and then to leave it sitting on your hard drive, because you never know what's going to happen. So don't, because I think a lot of artists suffer with this, including myself. Like, when, you know, just if you've got something that you believe in, that's, you know, put it out. Just, yeah, there's, you've got nothing to lose. It's like, you've only got something to gain. If it's sitting on your hard drive or on a tape or wherever, it's going to do nothing. No one's going to hear it. You know, actually, for tonight, it sat on my hard drive for a year and a half before I actually put it out. Eventually, I was like, what am I doing? It was actually my girlfriend. She kept on telling me, the song is amazing. Why aren't you putting it out? You know, and eventually, I was like, it's true. You know,
yes.
I guess I just wanted the whole marketing vision, like, in place, you know. And I was just like, I'm going to put that out. And at least through that song, my audience was growing, you know, over time by putting that song out, you know.
Yes.
Same with your friends. They put it out. Years later, something happened, you know, or months later, however long it was. But moral of the story is, put your music out.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be years. It was 2.5 years for them. It could be months. It could be tomorrow. But, like, in this day and age, there are so many ways that an algorithm or an influencer or a TV show, I mean, Blood and Water were looking for local artists not long ago, you know? Like, there are so many more options available to producers and musicians and artists now than when I was coming up. It's insane. Like, you could go viral from a 30-second TikTok video. It will change. That could change your life. So you never know. So I agree with you. Put it out. Put it out. Put it everywhere. Everywhere, all the time. Yes. Everything.
Yeah, I mean, TikTok's amazing for that. Hey, like, it's broken a lot of artists. People know. Artists that no one knew, no one suddenly are getting all of these streams through, like, a TikTok video. I mean, for me, that's amazing.
But I also feel like it's changed. It's going to inherently change the music landscape, right? Because if you look at a TikTok video, the 30-seconders or even the couple of minutes ones, they're looking for a really catchy hook, right? And the focus now is around the hook. The rest of the song doesn't really matter anymore. As long as you have that shit hot hook, it's cool. And I worry about, because this could go either way now, right? We could just be making songs for great hooks and nothing else. Or it could push writers and lyricists to push even harder to create a really good entire song. So I think either way, TikTok is going to push the music industry and how we write and create to evolve, which is good, but could be bad.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. I think you've got, like, okay, so let's play this scenario out. Somebody hears your hook on TikTok and thinks, oh, this is badass, right?
Yeah.
Then they go find you on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever to listen to the full song. Like, if the full song is not great, like, they're not going to add it to their playlist. They're not going to.
I do just, you know, listen, I mean, to the hook. No, I do. I add them just to listen to the hook because it's fucking.
And then what? And then you'll just what?
I will sit through the whole song just to listen to that hook, just for the, like.
Right. But and the rest of the song you don't like or you do like? Do you like?
I mean, I feel like some of them grow on you.
Okay.
I feel like others are just really shit. But you are right, because if it was the case of the songs that I really, really liked on TikTok, and I was going to the playlist to find the song, to find the artist, to follow the artist. If the rest of their stuff was great, oh, they have a follower for life now. But if it's not so great, I'll download the one song, like the one song, and then carry on with my life. So you are right.
You've got to establish that connection with the audience. You know, like if you get them to come to your profile, like that's what we're all trying to do. You know, this is the aim, is get people to come to your profile to connect with you as an artist. You know, like, and then you got to keep them there. Like, listen to one of your other songs. Oh wow, this, you know. So you, and the songs have to be good. So I feel like every song has got to have, every part of the song has got to be solid. It's got to have a great intro. It's got to have a great verse. It's got to have a great hook. It's how these things flow together and how they all support each other. That's the important, you know, like that's the key. You want that hook to like be massive when it drops or whatever, but what came before it lends itself to that particular moment, you know?
Valid. I think now writing a song, you just nailed it. You need to be writing the intro. You need to be writing all of it. Every single little piece of it should be able to be broken into a 30-second TikTok video.
Right.
I mean, no pressure at all to anyone writing music at the moment. Yes. It's just like so much more work.
Yes, I mean, but that's it. It's about moments. I think a song is about moments, and you got to make each moment like stand out on its own, you know? Like for whatever it's trying to achieve, you know? Like if it's a verse, it can be a little bit more minimal, a little bit more you know, like maybe the verse can be staccato kind of lyrics, and then when it drops into the chorus, it can break out into longer notes, whatever, you know. I'm talking musical kind of stuff here, but like just the particular parts of the song need to be different from each other to differentiate them from each other, you know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, dude, I could talk to you forever, but we are running out of time. So Carito, where do we find you? Where do we follow you? Where do we find your music?
So obviously on all the, you know, on all the platforms, you can go search me on Spotify and Apple Music, on YouTube, on whatever platform you choose to listen to music on. It's Carito, which is spelled Q-U-E-R-I-D-O. And obviously on my social media channels, it's usually I am and then dot Q-U-E-R-I-D-O.
I will put all of that here.
Amazing. But it's true. We could. I feel like we've just got started, you know. It's like, I suppose when you're having a good...
That's great. That means you come back. You got to come back now.
Yeah. I'd love to.
Okay, you know what we do? When I come to Cape Town, we'll do a live in person, in real life one.
That would be amazing. Phenomenal. Seriously. Love that.
Because I'm definitely moving to Cape Town, dude. Like, I say this, but I'm coming. It has to happen. I can't live in Joburg anymore. Cape Town is where it's at.
Please do come. I actually saw your kayak photo on Facebook, and I was like, ah, Danny, hey, she came to Cape Town. She didn't get in touch. I'm like, nice. I'm just kidding.
So many people said that to me, but it was legit in and out. Like, we came, my best friend got married. It was in on the Friday, didn't have an outfit, didn't have a wedding present. Sorry, Raquel. So it was buying a wedding present, was buying an outfit on the Friday, wedding on the Saturday, hungover as hell on Sunday. Barely could eat. We went to the V&A waterfront, and I was just like a ball of anxiety. It was terrible. And then Monday was the last day. We came home last night. So it was like in and out, but enough time for me to go, I'd rather be viciously hungover here than I would in Joburg.
Is that when you went for the kayak trip, eh? Was it hungover or?
No. I didn't want to be hungover for that. You can't be hungover when you meet penguins, Chris. You must be
No, it doesn't. That doesn't work, eh? Yeah. True. Good point.
You can't be hungover when you meet penguins. Oh, I did also go to the aquarium, which I believe you guys can have like a year's membership to. I would like be there every day. There's just so much more to do there. So yeah, when I come, we'll do this in real life, and then you can. I want to do this lion's head or signal thing that you guys all do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I will die. Full disclosure. I smoke and I drink to it. I will die, but I'll go.
Good. I like the commitment.
Yeah, we'll see. Chris, thank you so much for your time. All of the links are below, and Pinky promise you're coming back.
Pinky promise, it's happening. No, definitely. It's been so good to talk to you. Honestly, thank you.
Awesome. That's it. We're done. That's it. You can go forth and conquer your day.
Remember, you can catch the full video on exotv.me and you can meet us in kind of real life. Thanks to DJ Chuck for the music. You can catch him at www.chucksprosound.co.za. New episodes on Jackpod and ExoTV every Monday. Love you.